Hello, everybody that is not listening. It is I, the omnipotent, the omnivorous, the omnifarious.
Shut the fuck up, Omni.
My bad, let's get on the show then. For better or worse, until the worst gets better. I'ma let you release to release the pressure. Yeah. A solo member, God, still with no contenders. Who don't remember the future, but predicts the past. Makes hits off wax, gets rich off trash. Gets shits on cash and takes hits off stash. I give the one-man crowd a very loud silence. A heroic violence, so only the broken violence. Yeah. A logical artist with the stupid smartness. I live to love and I love to be heartless. Standing still, but my words keep on marching. I keep it moving so I can stop starting. Yeah. Driving on parkways, but on driveways I'm parking. Softly hardened, cause this is hardly easy. Picking up tapes and dropping cheap CDs. The price you pay for these expensive freebies. I'm a hypocrite that's meant to spit. I tell the truth, no evidence. I'm heaven sent. Contradiction in all of my messages. Bring both sides of the story into one excellence. Omni, call me the positive pessimist. I'm leading the followers by following the leader. I'm eating these swallowers that bite like the teeth. I'm teaching students to be the student teacher by listening to the mic and rapping through the speaker. A preacher to the shepherd of atheistic believers. I rehearse each verse and listen when I speak. Do both at once, cause everything's the same. Rearrange with different names, yo, the yin and the yang. My underground's in the main, cause it's bot like. I'm on top like, but not in the spotlight. I rock like I'm giving you a burning frostbite. A humble ego that's hella dope, but it's not tight. I get you confused like two dogs in a cat fight. Mad nice, black white, mixed into gray. I brought the extra medium on, yesterday's tomorrow. Happy sorrow, so have yourself a good bad day. I'm a hypocrite that's meant to spit. I tell the truth, no evidence. I'm heaven sent, contradiction in all of my messages. Bring both sides of story into one excellence. Omni, call me the positive pessimist. I'm a veteran rookie that's better than nothing. Doomed to be lucky and tells the truth by bluffing. A pretty ugly one-sided discussion. A perfect human disguised as a democratic republican. Bringing chaotic order to this unequally free government. With taxes be up for money spent before I have a touch of it. I hate loving it, but I love to hate it. My calm adrenaline rush leaves me soberly sedated. The thought of freedom is the one unspoken statement. The real fakeness that keeps the world the same changes. The same faces remain faceless, the same cages remain slaveless. Reading pages filled up with the same blankness. A light heavyweight spitting his written freestyle. Who am I kidding? I won't admit it, but I'm in denial. Deeply shallow, normally crazy, never be maybe. Every day he's patiently waiting like he's aggressively lazy. I'm a hypocrite that's meant to spit. I tell the truth, no evidence. I'm heaven sent, contradiction in all of my messages. Bring both sides of story into one excellence. Omni, call me the positive pessimist.
Whoa, man, and no predictions. That's my good friend, Omni. Well, and I want to thank you all for coming on. This is When Pigs Fly, and like I said, there ain't no bull here. There ain't no bulls flying here. Coming to you live from Las Vegas, and I have a very, very special show. But first, before I get into I See Dead People, I know people have tried to broadcast. Hit me 2 weeks ago to hear my interview with Mystic Zany, and unfortunately I was ill. I was hospitalized with a pancreatic attack, which is probably the most painful experience you can imagine, getting beaten up in the gut, and I was almost asphyxiated by my diaphragm expanding, so it was a double hit there. But I feel a lot better, and I want to thank for everybody's input and concern about my health and everything. But I will have Mystic Zany on on the 15th. I'm looking forward to having him discuss his book and our many things we do discuss through the things of phenomena of from psychic to spirituality and politics and, you know, my good stuff. Also, I just want to give a quick announcement tomorrow. If you all are, or any of you are heading into Las Vegas, tomorrow we'll be having a book signing event for my newly released book, The Heretic. I'm having that this Saturday tomorrow at between 1 and 5 at the Barnes Noble Bookstore on 567 North Stephanie Henderson. So do come down, and see me, want to have a little bit of conversation, want to meet me, want to talk, whatever, do come down. And also, I want anybody who have questions regarding my past shows, whether it's dealing with free energy or out-of-body regressions in Kabbalah or anything like that, or politics, or what's on your mind, just shoot me an email at flyingpigs@artlover.com, or you can contact me at myspace/AndrewFetter. But I have two very, very special guests. They are Tommy and David Jones, who are the hosts of Para X Radio, and they are the co-founders of Kentucky Area Paranormal Society, where they have done numerous investigations of the paranormal, such as ghosts and poltergeists and etc. And without further ado, I have David and Tommy Jones. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing great, Andrew. Thank you for having us.
Yes, pleasure.
So, first, before I get into my conversation about curiosity, if everybody's going to go out, how the hell did you get into such a thing? I mean, I know one of you were a cop, an ex-cop, so I have to watch out what I say here. And then I have, I get really political. If you hear my show, they'll probably have be all after me anyway. Next revolutionary here. And then, and then, yeah, but see, I got Casper behind me protecting me.
There you go.
And then, and I forget which one is the ex-civil engineer? Is that David?
Yes, I'm currently a civil engineer.
Oh, you're currently a civil engineer. So that's like,
yes,
out of not even the same phenomenon, same area. How did you two just kind of jump into the area of being, as people would call you, ghost hunters?
Believe it or not, that's when I got married. Not on account of my wife by any means.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna wonder about that. If when you got married, had you had some special guests attend your wedding here?
Well, actually, in a way, that's probably close to the truth. We had got married in the Bell House here in Lexington, Kentucky, and it's presumably supposed to be haunted. We never gave it that much thought about it. We wasn't interested in it at the time. So we got married, and we were at the front of the building locking it up with the maintenance guy. My sister-in-law from Florida just took a shot down the hallway as we were closing up the door, and when she got back to Florida, she emailed me this picture and said, "Tommy, you've got to look at the end of this hallway." So I looked at the end of the hallway, and sure enough, there was an apparition that looked like it was walking through the back door. And that's how Capsule was born.
That's exactly right. And what happened was is that once we saw it, we had the typical response to it. Is that we said, "Wow, this is great. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go get a cooler of beer, come back and sit on the steps and wait for this thing to show back up again." And we never did do that, believe it or not. But we got interested in it, as Tom said, right after that. And so we decided we wanted to go give it a shot, mostly on Lark at first. And we took, on our first investigation, we had the rudimentary stuff. We had a flashlight. I don't think we had an audio recorder then, Tom, as I recall. And an IR, scope. And we went out. And, the rest is history. After that, we just got hooked on it. Had some great investigations that followed after that. So we were hopelessly hooked after that.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I've had my own experiences, but I never thought about getting delved straight into investigating. What do you think, in just curiosity of your, I don't want to get into your belief system, but what do you think, when you see aberrations or you think see ghosts, what do you think those are when you see, during your investigation? Do you have any idea what those, when you see an aberration or a spirit, so-called, or a ghost or a poltergeist, what do you actually think those things or that element, what do you think actually think that is, in maybe even a spiritual sense?
Yeah, the way I look at it is, of course, my own theory, which is that and a quarter of a cup of coffee.
It's so funny because I'm asking both of you at the same time. I'm sorry. So it's like two guys talking here. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, what we look at is that we see it as, at least I do, I'll put it this way, this is my theory, and Tom may have his own entirely separate one. Is that we think that the veil that separates us from the living and the non-living, if you will, or those that have passed on to another sense of reality or sense of existence, is a very thin one. It's enough to where we can't cross over very effectively, but it's not one that is prohibited. And what we're thinking is that for whatever reason or another, apparitions, ghosts, whatever you want to call them, are trying to communicate with us. We've even postulated the fact that maybe they see us the same way we see them. They may see a shadow. They may see an apparition. They may see an outline or hear a noise. And their curiosity is much like ours. And so in their attempt to contact us and our attempt to contact them or to investigate them or to find them, by happenstance and good fortune of being in the right place at the right time, based on research, is that we happen to get some evidence of something happening on the other side. Tom?
Even to add to that, we were at a Civil War cemetery one time in western Kentucky, and I always carry an audio recorder in my pocket, and I snapped a picture in this near the field near the cemetery. Didn't think nothing of it, went back home, played the recorder, and on the recorder you could hear me take the picture with my camera, and just a second after that, you hear a voice in the background go, "What the hell was that?" I'm just a cute, and that's weird. I was on my right there. So, you know, I agree also about the thin veil. I don't know what opened it up to allow this to happen, but I agree 110%.
Wow. So you think it's more like they're yearning to sort of connect with us just as much as like words are our curiosity, yet they're on the other. They're like, do you think they're like just, they're caught in between? Because some people think, in fact, my own thing, I feel just they're like, there's a word they call them, Duvik. They're like caught in between where they haven't gone to where they're supposed to, you know, the up to the light or whatever. So they're sort of caught on this plane, and they're trying to, they don't know that they're really dead, or they trying to communicate with something important to, or they feel it's important to us that are now in our bodies on this plane.
Yes.
Do you think that's pretty much what it is?
Yeah, I would agree with that, too, because, you know, there's something that has them in the place that they are. And there's so many different theories and thoughts on that. Where someone doesn't know that they died. And one of the reasons why I mentioned that's from the Paramount ones is that when Tom and I were investigating a TV hospital not too long ago, we got a Class A EVP of a little girl.
Yes.
It was caught on a camcorder microphone, and we're talking about, you know, based on the voice, probably an 8-year-old girl, you know, somewhere along in that age period. And as Tom and another investigator were walking down the hallway, you could hear this Class A EVP very clearly say, "How old are you?" You know, which is a classic question from a small child to ask an older individual. And, you know, one of the thoughts went to after that, once we went back and heard the EVP, was the fact that here's a child that is trapped or confused or whatever it is in this old, dilapidated TB hospital building. And, you know, my thoughts were that chances are this little girl who possibly died from tuberculosis was told by her parents, who fully well knew that she was going to pass, probably told her, said, "Honey, look, just go ahead and go to sleep. You'll be fine. Not to worry." The little girl lays down, closes her eyes, thinking, "All right, I'm going to get a night's sleep, wake up the next morning, see Mommy and Daddy." Well, that day never comes. So in that case, that little girl went into the other existence not realizing.
Correct.
Also, we found a lot of activity, as you might well imagine, in places where there has been a very violent or very sudden death, where a person who wasn't anticipating their demise was caught up in it. And so those folks are there. And you also have those strong-willed folks who may have an understanding of their existence that's coming, and yet they want to hold on, much like you said, to communicate some fact or to try to right some wrong or to try to communicate with some loved one. All these things are possibilities. And
so it's really nothing really ever. Anything really negative, like, you know, something, you know, evil, like, you know, they always portray evil ghosts or evil poltergeists or evil whatever. It's nothing sort of evil. It's just basically they're caught, these spirits are caught, and for some reason or another, and it's nothing really negative. It's just a situation, basically, is what you're saying.
Exactly, and David probably agrees with me on this as well. What you are in life is what you are in death. Sure, you know, you've probably got the poltergeist out there who was the mean old guys who passed away, and they're, you know, just the same as they are when they were living.
Right. And then they're just, right, and they just the mean old guy or whatever on the other side, too, and they
exactly.
just keep on going it.
Yeah, and there's always that existence, and these are things that we're researching now, trying to find out. We got a great friend of ours, Bishop James Long, who's a demonologist, who deals in malevolent beings. These are the ones that seem to they go beyond what you would consider a normal apparition that he deals with. And these seem to be an entirely different kind of entity. Tom and I have never really run up on any kind of a malevolent being yet, not one that intended any harm at all, except for the bats. But beyond that, we haven't discovered any kind of beings that seem to be out to cause us harm or to cause us any kind of problems. While he, on the other hand, has dealt with some that have, it seems like that's their sole intent is to cause some type of harm or fear or something to happen to the living. So, there's bound to be an earth sense of thinking is that there is a division of the types of beings that are out there. And you mentioned a spiritual a moment ago, a spiritual being.
So just like
chances are demons are those spiritual beings. They may not have ever been living human beings, but they're some type of a different creature altogether. Maybe their genesis was spirit, and it
right.
remains so. So
basically you're saying if they're like acting towards something very dark and they're being very dark or acting dark on this side while they're in the life, and then they carry that out, they keep on, if they, in the spirit, when they die with in their spirit realm, whatever, and they're in that, caught in that that certain plane, and then so they may keep on carrying on those negative or dark attitudes or dark paths of being, and those are the ones that you hear that, that sounds pretty evil, like evil poltergeists or evil ghosts sort of scenarios. Is basically
that's how I believe, exactly.
That's pretty, that makes sense, a lot of sense. Did you ever do I know there's, I can't remember where I saw, but there's like a books or whatever that almost like go on tour guides of haunted places. If you know, I've heard people go on these, like I know in San Diego and on the west side and in LA and San Francisco, they go to these haunted houses, and there's people go on these haunted tours, like to houses they think that they're haunted or whatever. Did you ever go through those, like, listings of where people think that they go on those little haunted... I'm sure there's plenty of stuff on the East Coast, just the amount of stuff that people have lived, because obviously more people where they are, there'd be more things have happened. But have you heard of the, the tour guides, the haunted house tour guides type of thing? Hello?
Stop.
Yeah, there's ghost tours around here, but basically it is... And I hate to say this, more commercialized. I mean, you got a group of people going in, this is what happened here, and, nine times out of ten, the people will be taking photographs, and the orb question come up. 90% of the time, the orb that you see in a digital camera is nothing but a dust or a bug, and that draws people to these ghost tours.
Right, so it's
some of it is based in legend, too, is that you'll have some that have a legend of hauntings. It makes for some good fun during Halloween when you walk through a haunted house and, with the darkness and folks leading you through telling the legends and those type of things. And typically, those don't seem to pan out very well because they are based pretty much in legend and nothing more. You do have those, to put another spin to this, is that you do have those who lead ghost haunting trips, if you will, or ghost tours, who go to places that have confirmed types of activity. So there is a difference.
Yeah.
But not everyone that has a tour has a haunted experience.
So how do you get your, leads? If somebody contacts you and says, hey, man, I got something really weird happening around my house, how do you get your leads of that their events happen that then you run over and do your investigations? And I understand you use all various equipment, which I want to ask you about too, but, to determine the entities. I mean, there's obviously, we see so much information from our eyes, which we deter and curtail, but how do you get your leads? How do you get people, for example, now, if somebody wanted to contact you now, how would they contact you and say, you know, I got some really weird phenomena happening at my house or a friend of mine, or how would they be able to contact you, and how would you do, is that how you do your leads? And
I'd say 75% of the time they email us through our website, which is www.capsonline.com, capital K. Actually, it's got one today of in North Kentucky. I mean, not more than probably an hour ago, said, hey, you know, the Masonic Lodge here is having, they're hearing voices, they're having things move. Can y'all come up? Sure, give us some dates. We'll be right on up. 75% is through email, and then the other 25% is David and I scouring the internet trying to find places.
Let me reduce that percentage by a little bit. You also have word of mouth, which is,
right.
that's one of the things that we're really thrilled about, and we're humbled about, is the fact that the reputation for what we do is out there now, and folks know that they can trust us, particularly, Andrew, when we're talking about folks who live in private residences, is that we have a strict code of keeping them anonymous. We never share information unless they want it shared. We never put up any kind of evidence for anyone else can see it if that person wants to retain their anonymity. And that comforts people because we know they can call us and say, you know, we got something going on. Can you come check it out for me?
Because I know a lot of people will be.
And know that when they do is that they're not going to go to work the next day and somebody's going to point a finger at them and say, yeah, you believe in ghosts. You're just imagining things, or you're going crazy.
Yeah.
So, I think Tom's got laid out exactly right. With some portion of just word of mouth where caps is spread around and people know what we do and how we accomplish that.
And do you do basically most of your investigations on the East Coast, or do you do it through the United States or worldwide? Or
that's a good question. We have been as far north as Michigan, as far south as Georgia. We're in the process of hoping next year going to Ireland with some friends over there to investigate some castles.
Yeah.
So we'll go about anywhere.
Wow.
We'll go anywhere. We've been as far west as Virginia City. We've had some of our members in Virginia City investigating an entire town that we were invited to go investigate. We've also got an investigation planned for the USS North Carolina. We've got, they're scattered all over the place. We call ourselves Kentucky Area Paranormal Society basically because that's where we're located, but that's certainly not to regionalize us. If we're called and somebody wants us to come to do a particular investigation, if it's in an area where it's away from Kentucky, naturally we've got some contacts with some other societies that are very reputable, that they do similar types of investigations like we do. And we'll certainly contact those because we don't want to travel all the way across several states to go in where someone who has the ability to do an investigation is right there.
Right.
But we certainly would accompany them.
We'll
do as Tom said. We'll find a place that wants to be investigated, or where there's been some activity that we've noticed, and we'll go to those places. So we certainly go anywhere.
So you both coordinate with other investigators. So, like, if there's something happening way up in, let's say, Seattle, and instead of you guys heading up there, you contact somebody else up in Seattle that's already living near there who can go do the investigation. Likewise, let's say if they get a lead that's out there, let's say, Tennessee, and they go, hey, you know what, can you check out this thing over? So you guys work sort of like with other investigators, almost like called Brotherhood or whatever, a union of investigators who, you know, back and forth trade off investigational leads to make it more optimal as far as, you know, travel, obviously, instead of running around back and forth. You guys can stay within a certain area and others can stay within a certain area. Is that basically
exactly
how it's sort of like a network almost like?
Exactly, and all of our investigations are free. The same way, if, you know, if somebody's in Seattle, we'll find a place, find a group out there, same way, free of charge. We don't charge a dime.
Wow.
Well, nothing at all.
How long you guys been doing this? Just how many years?
Oh,
have you guys,
3 years.
Yeah.
How many?
Three.
It's almost 2 years. It's almost three. That's right. I'm sorry. Almost 3 years.
Have you, just another issue, have you noticed if there's a rise of activity, if you want to call it that, in the last, within the last 2-3 years? I mean, if you were to monitor to, you know, a chart and say, okay, you know, there's instance 1, 2, 3, 100, and now this year we hear now there's 1,000, and then this year now 10,000. Do you ever look at maybe a corresponding graph or any analysis that maybe if there's a rise of activity, or do you guys do any kind of thing of research on that area as well?
Yeah, I think there's a rise in awareness of it. Whether there happens to be any more activity or not, I don't know about that. But what I do know is that the awareness of it has picked up, because it used to be those who did this kind of thing were looked upon as being just a little bit, you know, they were one egg short of a dozen, you know.
Right.
Now there's more acceptance since you've got these shows that are on television, such as Ghost Hunters, Paranormal State, Ghost Hunters International, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so there's more acceptance of it. And so I think you hear more about it.
They don't have to look at crazy like Michael J. Fox when he did Frighteners. You know, like that.
Yeah.
You know, they thought he was a kook.
Oh, yeah.
So now the other thing is, when you, my also curiosity, because, I mean, I get into the scientifics of it, but what, you know, like in quantum physics, because they've already determined, you know, in quantum physics that there is a soul, and they quantify that in physics. But and that's even those people don't believe or atheists or whatever. Yes, they have determined that in a scientific way. What kind of the equipment that you utilize to determine when you see? I mean, you visually see, because we have mounts of information that goes into our senses, even specifically an eye, and our brain only absorbs, you know, can we try to absorb like maybe not even 5% if we're a genius, and there's so much information coming in, and it's possibly that we're pulling away this way that what you're saying being awareness, or pulling over, becoming aware of the entity that we're seeing in front of us, because we're seeing the real image of that cause and effect spirit in a quantum physics way. But I'm curious of what kind of equipment that you utilize to determine the science aspects of that spirit to quantify what you see or register. So what elements of equipment do you utilize to determine what that spirit or phenomena is? If you get what I'm asking.
Okay. We use, let me go down the list what we've got. We do use infrared cameras, which is actually, you know, that's got the infrared LEDs, which lights up like daylight when it's blacker than black. Our recorders, regular digital recorders, there's nothing scientific amped up about them. We use EMF meters, which is electromagnetic field meters, which will determine if there's an electronic field around a certain area. What am I forgetting, David?
We've also got motion detectors. We've got...
Which are infrared, by the way, also.
Yeah, we've also got cameras, or just still cameras to take photographs with in case we happen to catch something that makes a shadow or happen to see an image. Also, we have one that Tom has, which takes photographs in the IR spectrum.
Right.
Just to see if there's something. And we're also getting ready to get a full spectrum camera, which has lets all different types of rays of light in, which it doesn't turn any of them back. We've got environmental meters. We try to check to see if there's any difference in barometric pressure, any difference in temperatures. We've got thermometers to see if there happens to be any cold spots or hot spots. We're also working on a hack box. We're getting ready to work on that to try to see if we can generate any kind of speech patterns from apparitions who might want to try to contact us. We're looking into the possibility of obtaining the obelisk, which is it's kind of a combination of all those things, but it's has the ability to graph some of the changes in the environment and also in electromagnetic fields as well. And the reason why we do that, Andrew, is that sounds almost ghostbusterish, but you know, there is such a term. But basically, what we're seeing is that these entities are energy. Everything has some energy aspect to it. So what we're trying to do is to try to determine how they manifest themselves and what type of energy they use. Is it light energy? If it is, then what wavelength is it? If it's sound, or if it's manipulating electromagnetic fields to create sound, we're trying to determine that. The EMF meters that we use, or to see if there's any kind of disruption in a normal electromagnetic field. Then we also use the cameras, we use the motion detectors, those kind of things to see if there's some hint that maybe the apparition has some substance to it.
Right.
We use laser pointers. We've used laser pointers in a way that we've seen those distorted because it's passing through something. Whereas, you know, it distorts that single beam of light and diffuses it almost like going through a cloud. So,
right.
We're trying to determine just exactly what type of energy is causing these manifestations or how they're using the energy to show themselves to us.
Right. So you're saying in a cause effect that they're showing, what would happen on that, the spirit, how it's affecting possibly on this side of the plane of the aberration is creating, let's say, a change of temperature, change of electromagnetic area, a change of pressure, a change of like light wavelength, or in that sense. Basically, you answered my questions, but that's basically what you're trying to determine. Have you seen any parallel instances happening with it? Like, for example, you know, you see one aberration into another, and you start seeing a common denominator amongst all of them?
Yes. Very good. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I was going to refer back to the apparition that you saw at Waverly, and my luck, I was one hallway over. I didn't get to see it, but you can tell. Well, getting back to the laser, I forgot to say about the laser pointer. I mean, we touched on that. This, Andrew, is probably one of the most amazing things I have ever seen. You know, like a typical laser pointer you get at your department store.
Right.
We shot it down the hallway. I was panning it back and forth. And all of a sudden, probably about 20, 30 foot away, the laser, it's like it hit something and diffused. You could actually see the laser beam flickering about 20 or 30 feet away. So David, being the brave soul as he is, he kept on inching toward this where it's being diffused. David got about 10 foot from it, and he could clearly see like a black mass that this thing, that the laser light was hitting, and it was just the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and, you know, and back to your question about the parallels or maybe some commonalities between it. What we've noticed is that for whatever reason or the necessity for them to manifest is that they're going to manipulate energy somehow. You know, typically what we've seen is that we will, if we see something such as a shadow, for example, or we see the laser beam that happens to be diffused, then there may be a correlating type of a phenomenon that happens with the temperature. The temperature will drop. Or we've noticed that the EMF meter will go off unexpectedly.
What was that again? I know you just said the temperature dropped, and then what was that again that you said that happens?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what we do is we try to see if there's a correlation between three.
I know that, but after you said...
The EMF meter, David.
Yeah, the EMF meter is that, you know, there's a distortion that happens.
Okay, what's the EMF meter?
To read that.
Okay, what's the EMF meter?
There's an EMF meter. That way,
we're not all techies here. Okay, what's the EMF meter? What's that? I'm sorry.
The EMF meter?
Electromagnetic field.
EMF meter, that's what we call them. Pardon me, we're caught up in the lingo now. And, we'll notice two or three different things that happen, and invariably what will happen. One of the great indicators that we've gotten in contact with something, if we see a shadow, and we happen to see a spike in the EMF field,
okay,
we will almost certainly get an electronic voice phenomenon that's associated with it.
So
on our audio recorders.
So you're saying they
happen within seconds of each other.
So you're saying there's definitely a connection of a electromagnetic field that it suddenly changes within the area, a change of visual, obviously some sort of wavelength as far as light, right?
Correct.
And then you're seeing also a change of phenomena of, then you have the vocal thing. So basically you have like almost very much of a quantum effect. You basically have a change of both particle and wave, both in changing as far as electromagnetic area, as well as particle change, throwing a light. I mean, there's a whole phenomena. Then you have a whole field right there. I mean, you can basically would be able to cut out of a cookie cutter of an area.
Exactly.
Change.
Exactly.
Ah.
Yeah, and the theory is still, you know, that in order to manifest, again, it's a theory that the ghost or apparition has to have energy to manifest. We have seen this in numerous times, go in with a camcorder or audio recorder, visual cameras, new batteries in the devices, and all of a sudden, bang, go nothing, like dead batteries and everything. And that's the manifestation trying to gain that much energy from their surroundings.
Yeah, and when you talk about quantum physics and you're talking about particles that are breaking the barrier, if you will, there's going to be a distortion of energy. And you know, that's the only thing that we have right now that really seems to measure it, at least in terms of what we can pick up, is electromagnetic field. There's probably another device out there somewhere that may be even better, and that's what we're looking for, is to find something that may be more fine-tuned to that phenomenon that's happening whenever the barrier is breached.
And I'm sure NASA can help you out on that one.
I'd say so.
No, I mean, and because I dealt with on free energy. In fact, I had a guy, probably a great professor, probably hooked you up straight. There's a bunch of them on it. One guy named John Ciro works with electromagnetic fields that he's developed. He's involved with free energy and kinetic energy, but there's scientists that work with that area. There's a whole dozen of people I know who probably have devices, not necessarily probably that you wouldn't realize that would be perfect for you, but they utilize it in order of establishing free energy because they work with electromagnetic energy all the time, which would be, you know,
sure.
they meter it to show how to create, you know, energy. So, I mean, that would be right up your league. But the other area I'm pretty fascinated with is, you know, you're now talking on a scientific, which is sort of pretty cold, and everybody's going, God, that's as boring as shit. I can say shit on my show. I don't know if it can transfer. You probably have to bleep it on yours.
No, we're fine.
Okay.
We're in that radio too, so.
All right. Good thing you didn't read my book, because I have a warning on my label on my book. I just tell my mom I just have selective Tourette syndrome. Anyway, the other idea I was curious about is, you know, not now getting more of the where a lot of my guests and I've had questions in the, I mean, not guests, but my listeners, and they send me emails and stuff like that. Even before the show, curious of questions to ask, since that's why I come up with some of the stuff I ask, is the personalities of these, what do you call atrophies, ghosts, or whatever, the personalities that you relate to, if you've had sort of communications with them, like, you know, hey, what are you here for, or what do you want, and have you ever gotten into that realm where you're trying to communicate and trying to find out why they're there or what they're doing or who they are, or, hey, I'm Uncle Joe's, and like you said, there's the little girl, and you're finding out what happened to her, and, you know what I'm saying? Did you guys, you know, obviously some sort of...
Yeah. Should I share the Charlie story, Tom?
Yes, please. That's probably... Yeah. And I could actually probably play it over here, and you probably could hear it, Andrew.
You guys are probably great at one of those Boy Scout campfire trips that late at night before they go to sleep.
Well, this one is to show that there's personality, because we think that you, as Tom mentioned earlier, is that we are on the other side of what we are here. I don't think that we lose our personalities. There's probably more enlightenment, obviously, once we realize what's happened, but our essential personality, in my mind, doesn't change any. And what Tom's going to play for you when he gets this thing together and you'll be able to hear it. Tom and I were at a cemetery.
Are you
going to
play a live thing for me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Go for it, man. I love it.
Yeah, and I'll set the set for you what happened to show you, because while we were there in the cemetery, we were just walking around. And this particular cemetery is very small. Tom had heard on EVP that he had children crying. You could hear children crying off in the distance down and a little part of the cemetery where the infants were buried. And we were just walking around, picking up things. And I walked by this particular gravestone, and his name was Charlie Foster.
Yes.
Charles Foster. And I noticed the date of death was about the time we were out there. It was around October the 12th or somewhere along in there. But it was within just a few days of the anniversary of his death. And you'll hear me on this tape that Tom's getting ready to play. I say, Charlie, you died right about now. Would you like to talk about it? And there's just a slight pause, and all of a sudden you hear this voice go, nope. He just goes, nope. Don't want to talk about it. And you could just tell in his voice that he was either upset that I asked him, or he was being playful, like, nope, we're not going to talk about it. It's just one of the most amazing things. It's funny when you hear it, because he just cuts me off in mid-sentence. And again, we didn't know that this response even came until after we got back and reviewed the digital audio recorder and found it.
Well, here we go.
Charlie, you died right about now. Can you talk to me?
Did you hear the note?
Wait, could you play it again?
Yeah. Hang on a second, let me play it again.
Sure. So you died right about now. Can you talk to me?
Oh. Oh my God.
And just like saying, don't talk to you, nope. That's where I took it.
Yeah. And shortly after this, when I'll clean this up for your audience, because this may go past the S word, so I'll clean this up. We went down not too far after that and accompanied, came upon a tombstone that had the initial BBG on it. That's all it had. No date of death, no date of birth, no name, just BBG. And I had the audio recorder going on. I stopped there, and I looked at it, and I said, BBG, what does that stand for? And I just walked off. And when we got back and reviewed the tape, and I say tape, it's audio recorder, digital. But anyway, when I got back to listen to it, you can hear clearly in the background somebody say, Billy effing Getz. they do have personalities, and we've seen that in some of the other things that we've seen. Tom caught a great EVP of Logan, and
yeah.
Tom, that one, that's a great one too, one of the clearest EVP we've ever picked up. And in that EVP, you can hear not only the age of the teenager who was talking, it's clearly a teenager's voice. It also has regionality to it. As if this was in Kentucky, and he has a southern accent, and you can tell it quite plainly. So, yeah, you know, there is personality.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean,
wow.
Even the Logan, when he's talking about, you know, you're talking about, I think he was like 15, 16-year-old when he passed away. He passed away like 3 years prior to us being there, but...
So when you record this, like, you didn't hear it on your like own ear, but it's coming, picking up on your recorder without you realizing it.
That's correct.
So what is it like?
And we have a theory for that too, Andrew, because what we're thinking is happening is that since spirit forms, apparitions, whatever you want to call it, don't have vocal cords as we know it. They're not able to manipulate air.
Right.
Like we do, like we're talking now.
Right. Maybe
but what I think what they have done is that they've learned how to manipulate frequencies.
Right.
And so that's the reason why you won't hear them with your ear.
Because it's too high, different frequencies.
But on that digital recorder, it will pick them up and it will translate them into something that you can hear. And that's
right.
The reason why EVP is such as it is.
And during our research, you know, the EVPs that we've got back playing back, 99%.
A dog would hear, but we wouldn't hear it.
Exactly. 90% of the ones we get, the frequency is around 200 hertz. And then the normal, you know, voice range is anywhere from 1500 on up. So
also, it's a really low, it's a low, low
very
low
frequency. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I always thought it would be a really high frequency, but that wouldn't make sense.
It usually hangs around 200, 300 hertz, what they usually hang around.
Yeah.
Wow.
And for whatever reason, we don't know, but that just seems to be, you know, typically what it is.
Right.
So if it's a low weight, it's a low wavelength they're producing. How about as far as their electromagnetic field? Is that a very low wavelength that are coming, generating like their energy form? Is that a very low, very, you know, subtle?
Not necessarily, no. It's a change. On the electromagnetic field, when you're measuring this, it's in milligauss. And so you go through and typically you try to weed out anything that might be man-made, like an electric cord in the wall or a thermostat on the wall or something like that causes it. So we'll go around and get a baseline reading. What we'll find out is, and just, you know, it may be 1.5 milligauss.
Right, because there's also the electromagnetic field pulsating from the Earth, too, that you have to establish.
Exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Exactly. So what happens is we take that baseline reading, and then we return back to that spot. And then if you see it jump to a 3 or a 4 even, we've seen them as high as 10 milligauss, which is extraordinary. That's almost like standing under a transmission line. And the thing that we've noticed that rules out typically a man-made EMF spike will be sustained. You'll walk under it, you'll see it go up to 4 or 5 milligauss, and it'll stay there. It won't budge. If there happens to be something that's happening, is that it may be at 0.5 or 1 or something like that, and suddenly it'll jump to 2.5, 3, 4, then fall back down to baseline. And that would indicate to us, minus any kind of a man-made spike somewhere, that something happened. And that's when we'll correlate that time period when we pick that up with our digital audio recording. So right at 9:50 p.m., we
have
this
spike. It's like something moving in that field that's moving and leaving, as opposed
exactly.
to something that's man-created staying there consistently.
Yeah.
Huh,
exactly. And if there happens to be a temperature change, we'll know that as well.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Wow. And have you had any, instances where, now this sounds pretty bizarre. I know you're dealing, with entities, aberrations and stuff like that on, obviously from, going from place to place and stuff like that. And is them, just curiosity, what happens when you guys go to sleep? I mean, do you guys ever have things where you're dreaming and then, these entities come into your dream field? Because that's in, or do you guys have any unusual experiences from, you have a dream and then all of a sudden this ghost comes in your whatever aberration, and then you go back and you go, wait, I gotta go back to that place. This person's trying to tell me something, maybe perhaps in another form, trying to communicate you through a dream state. Does that ever happen to you? Or I'm just curious.
That has never happened to me. I don't know about David.
No, it never has happened to me either. That's one of the things that we get asked all the time is, we're afraid of taking these things back home with us. it's just going to fall in the car.
Yeah, it is cheaper on if they do come home with us.
Yeah, sure. Well, I hope that would happen. We'd save a lot of gas. Well,
the reason why
I haven't had any kind of contact like that at all, not me personally, but I have heard of other investigators who have, so that's not to rule it out.
Yeah, the reason why I was asking is because when you're going, goes into a little bit of, quantum physics of what they call antimatter and reverse matter is on our field of time matter side you're looking at time as one dimensional and space is three dimensional. When as Einstein says, you go faster than the speed of light, it flips over in the opposite underneath, and then that goes into time is three dimensional, and then matter is one dimensional. And that's where they think that's where you your spirit side is, actually, and that's the duality of, in what they say in quantum physics, the duality of our existence. And that's also when you're in your dream state. That's why, and that's, I was wondering if you have dreams, you'd be connecting with those entities that you just saw, and they'd reach out to you trying to communicate with you, you're at a place and somebody was terribly, this sounds pretty weird. It sounds almost like, remember the movie Ghost? And they reach out to you and go, hey, I was murdered by so-and-so, and you see the entity that something and they're trying to reach out to you. And then you go to home and you're going to sleep and then they're still there. And then in dream state, they're still trying to, have you ever had a situation? Well, let me put what I'm trying to get to. Have you ever had where an entity is trying to reach out to you for some certain justice, for example, a murder or they're warning you of somebody about to be murdered or warning you of somebody's a relative about to be something catastrophic about that, almost like I don't know how to put this, but like a
premonition type thing.
A premonition to try to help you out on some, like I said, like almost like a, now it sounds like a movie, but you would be helping you to in your why they're trying to communicate, not just say hello, hey, by the way, no, like the guy Charlie, nope, I'm not going to tell you, but somebody who's seriously trying to help you connect on a lady who, let's say, got murdered and she's now trying to tell you who murdered her, or a warning of something like we I just mentioned. Have you ever had any experiences like that?
Not personally, I have not, although we do have some that's with our group that has, and what they're doing is Bonnie Vint, I don't know if you've heard of Bonnie or not, is in San Diego. Dear friend of ours, she works with Parex Radio Network along with us, and she terms herself a spirit advocate, and what happens is that what you related happens to her all the time, is that in just random moments. She says particularly when she's in the shower. Now, I don't know if it's running water or what, but anyway, she
in
will
the
shower
head.
Vision.
Okay.
yeah, the psycho scene. But the thing is that she'll get messages from them. She had a very highly profile one with Steve Irwin after he died. Steve Irwin was trying to get a message to his wife about some papers that he had that were hidden that he wanted her to have. And so he came to her, shared it with her. Bonnie got the message to Steve Irwin's wife. She goes to that place, and sure enough, there's some papers there that she needed to get. So, you know, it does happen. It hasn't happened to me personally. And Tom, you may have had one, but I've never had anything like that.
I have never had anything like that. No, not at all.
Wow. Well, the reason I was curious because, wait, now, which one is the which one of you guys are the is it Tom? That's why I was curious. Being an ex-cop, I thought maybe naturally they'd be getting, hey, can you tell, you know, naturally, you know, as opposed to David go, hey, by the way, we're going to have a structural problem here in California. We're going to have an earthquake. But in your situation, it'd be a warning like, you know, hey, this lady was murdered or raped or this guy or things, whatever. And they're like, you know, I just thought it would be more naturally, you know, trying to reach out to you for something, you know, that possibly happened. But, you know, I guess you never know. But that's why I always thought that if something catastrophic would be, you know, somebody would be also reaching out on something of adjusting. But, you know, I'd imagine there's probably a lot of that around, too.
I'm guaranteed there is. But you hit on something that was very good, Andrew, and I don't mean to regress too much, but I thought it was a fascinating thought. Is the idea that Einstein came up with the theory of relativity, is that, you know, as we approach the speed of light, time shortens, distances shorten. You know, for those that are approaching the speed of light, what may happen to them in a few seconds or minutes will be years for us.
Correct.
Based on theory of relativity. That would also indicate why, and maybe, and again, I'm reaching here a little bit, but it may also indicate why that apparitions keep the age that they were when they passed. You know, they could have died 150 years ago, and yet it may be just a small child, or in the case where we're at the Civil War Cemetery, where we picked up what is clearly a northern accent that it's almost teenage, early 20s, saying, "I'm hurt.
Yeah,
Billy's dead." You know, and this has happened 100 plus years, you know, so.
Yeah, well, the reality is time is really not linear. We just, in our own mind, we place it as linear, and that's how we structure, like if there's an area where it breaks off where time is, like, for example, the day near Japan, if you stand on one side, it's, you know, the day yesterday, and then you stand over on the other side of the mark, and then it's today, which doesn't make any sense. So really, time... Yeah, so we actually, in our own minds, the humans, we've created time as linearization. Actually, but from Einstein and through other, actually, the quantum physics side, they've shown that time is actually multidimensional. That's where they get in a three-level time, and that's where people have premonitions of certain events happening, and why you'll go some places that happen. And then there's also travel. I don't want to get into traveling, which... And they're trying to figure out, but that gets a whole other thing, which I've gotten in past shows about going in past the speed of light and all that phenomena.
Sure.
But it would make sense what you're talking about, why they're locked in at a certain time and they don't really age, because spirit really never ages. It just exists.
Exactly. Yes.
So when we're thinking something ages, it really doesn't. It just, our physical bodies age, but not our souls. But it's interesting that you say they keep that identity of being that when they die, they're locked in thinking. Because, you know, usually it's their perspective. I think, you know, like this is one of my theories, and when people, because we're almost down to then, when people die, is like whether you believe in Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, or nothing, that view that your belief system is carried out on the other side as well, so that belief is, you know, part, because thoughts are things, then you're going to carry your belief, and if you're still thinking you're a teenager, you're going to act like a teenager, even though in reality your spirit is really not a teenager, so that little kid's still carrying all the identifications of a belief system, and that's,
sure,
you know,
right.
So it all makes sense, but, you know, before, because I know we're getting down the end, I do want to reiterate and have you guys tell how my listeners, because this is also being archived, and I have a lot of people who love to re-listen to the show, and by the way, you got everybody, you can just re-listen to that Charlie saying nope how many times. That was very fascinating. But how they can, and I'm sure if he had he would probably be flipping you off at the same time, but you just didn't catch that on tape, or you had to censor it.
Probably.
We didn't want to have problems with the FCC. But, or that guy like in the court, you know, now you do this, or was it that? Anyway, they had, just tell them how they can contact you. I know you're doing the simulcast on your radio show at Parax Radio, but please tell them how to contact you, listen to you, and et cetera, or even contact you at the Kentucky Area Parax Society to, if they have any, you know, unusual events happening around their home or friends or whatever, and please tell them how they can contact you or listen to your show.
Okay, I'll do one, David, and the other. The way to contact us the best would go to our website at www.capsonline, caps with a K, capsonline.com. There's a contact form that you can fill out, and it'll shoot an email directly to us. Now, for Parax, David.
Yes, for Parax, we'd love for you to stop by. And, Andrew, we'd love to have you as a guest sometime on our show, because you got some tremendous theories we'd love to explore with you. You can come to our website at www.para-x.com. We have a forum there that you can come into and join and talk to us. The very best way to contact us is what Tom said, at www.capsonline.com, because there we have the evidence there. We have our equipment that you can look at. We have contact information. Our email is there if you'd like to email us. Or even call us at 301-358-CAPS. We would be thrilled to death to hear from anyone.
And Tommy and David, I want to thank you guys for coming on my show. It was, quite enlightening, quite fascinating. I'd love to see you guys even on TV or some regular show. That would be a fascinating, thing to see. Do you guys also, you don't have a blog site, do you?
No, we just have a blog on both sides.
You do have a blog site?
A form on both sides, yes.
Oh, great, great. And how would somebody, what's your blog sites?
It's linked directly to the website.
Oh, great.
You'll
see the tab up there that takes you directly to it.
Oh, cool. So, hey, guys, everybody check out their blogs. If you got any questions out there or future, questions about this show, please do contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. That's my direct email address. I will get back with you as quickly as possible, or at myspace.com/andrewfetter.com. And again, I want to thank Tommy and David for coming on my show, and you guys have been listening to When Pigs Fly, because there ain't no bull here. I want to thank everybody for listening in, and do tune in 2 weeks from today, where I will have Mystic Zany talking about his new book, Tales of Zany Mystic. And thank you, and God bless you all. Thank you.